Allow me to welcome you to State Affairs. I call this meeting to order. It's Thursday, March 19th, 2007. It is now 2 minutes after 9. At this time, if you have not already done so, please turn off any electronic devices. Please let the record reflect that Senator Passfan, French, and Menard are in attendance this morning. And I would also like to introduce my committee aide, which I believe is out in the hall. Her name is Debbie Prater. And we're welcoming to the table another committee member, and that would be Senator Kevin Myers. Today we'll hear the following bills. First on the docket is Senate Bill 69, Commission on Status of Women. And it's nice to see so many women in the audience. Then we'll take up Senate Bill 78, Legislative Audit Division Powers. Then the CSHB 63, Council on Domestic Violence Members Staff. So with that, we'll begin with Senate Bill 69, Commission on Status of Women. Senator Davis is the sponsor of this bill. Senator, would you please come forward and give testimony on your bill, state your name, affiliation, and give your testimony. And I see, Linda, your staff is joining you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and all the members of the of this committee. It's my pleasure to say that I'm introducing again the Women's Commission. As many of you know, that it was functioning very well for quite a while and went away back once they combined it with another group, another commission that never really got funding. And I have been asked by many of the women to try to establish that again. So Linda and my staff is going to read off the information about the Women's Commission and hope that we'll be able to take a few testimonies also from some of the women that's here for a Women's Summit. And we'll want to say that we're proud to have all these young ladies in the audience and looking forward to hear from them.
Okay, and will you give us the information of what other commission it was wrapped into?
The other name, Human.
Human Rights.
No, it was another name.
The Alaska Human Relations Commission.
Relations, okay, thank you for that information.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
Okay, if I may, I'm Linda Zog, staff for Senator Betty Davis, and I would like to read the sponsor statement into the record. It is time once again to acknowledge the contributions of women across Alaska. It is time to reestablish the Commission on the Status of Women. In 1976, the legislature established the first commission on the status of women to address the unique needs of Alaska's women and children. The commission was tasked with implementing the recommendations contained in the preliminary study of the status of women. The commission was to improve the status of women in Alaska through research, making and implementing additional recommendations on the opportunities, needs, problems, and contributions of women. The improvements made by the Commission of Women were to include but not limited to the areas of education, homemaking, civil and legal rights, labor, and employment. The Women's Commission was merged with the Alaskan Human Relations Commission in 1993. The Alaska Human Relations Commission, which continues to exist in state statute, has never been funded and was declared inactive in 1996. Since 1993, the problems identified by the Commission on the Status of Women have continued to exist with minimal change and with ongoing negative impact for Alaskan women and their families. Women represent half of our state's population, half of our workforce, and consequently half of our ability. In order for us to continue to explore and develop our state to its fullest potential, we must improve the opportunities for all citizens, including women. In Alaska, women in government still earn 80% of the income of men, while in the private sector, women earn 62.4% of men. Women and children continue to be the most common victims of domestic abuse. Women in Alaska lead the nation as victims of sexual assault. We have a struggling foster care system. Our high school students, both male and females, drop out at alarming rates. We have one of the lowest percentages of students entering and completing higher education programs. We have a significant economic divide between our urban and rural communities, which negatively impacts all of us. These are just a few of the issues facing women and children in our state which need to be addressed. Reestablishing the Commission on the Status of Women is an excellent way to focus attention on the major issues that impact women and children across our state. The purpose of the commission would be to improve the status of women by conducting research, as well as serving as a referral service for information and education to help women avail themselves of the existing resources to meet their needs. Additionally, the commission would make and implement recommendations on opportunities, needs, problems, and contributions of women in the area of education, homemaking, civil and legal rights, and labor and employment. Alaska, with its unique culture, history, and challenges, combined with its large size and small population, call for innovative forward thinking to deal with the many difficult issues facing Alaska women and their families. The creation of the Commission on the Status of Women would once again focus the attention of Alaskans on these critical issues.
Thank you. Linda, we appreciate that. Does anyone of the any committee members have any questions of Senator or Representative Davis or Linda? Okay, seeing. All right, online then. Thank you very much for your testimony. Off net, we have Arlis Sturgiluski. We'll allow Arlis now to. Arlis?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, may I speak briefly?
Yes, please state your name and affiliation.
Madam Chair, this is Arlis Sturgiluski. I am not affiliated with anyone, but I suppose many groups. I served, and do you want me to spell my name?
No, I have it down perfectly.
All right. I was in the legislature, in the state senate, in the 80s when the Commission on the Status of Women was very active. I was sad to see its demise. It went into another agency. But I think it's really critical that the commission be reestablished. It couldn't come at a more important time. Focus on the major issues that impact women and children in our state is really critical. I think there needs to be research, pulling together of material that deal with the areas of domestic violence, the large number of single heads of household families, the need for shelter, the increasing, and I think it's a national shame for Alaska, the amount of dropout rates that seem to be soaring, the quality and the need for foster care, certainly the need for referral services for assisting women to gain both information and education to take advantage of existing resources. Very recently, a group, nonprofit group, the YWCA, worked with the University of Alaska Anchorage to provide scholarships for 10 women to single heads of household to get additional education. It was a major cooperative effort, but it shows what can be done when people work together. So I would urge you to reestablish the commission to assist them in finding the linkages that can help women and children and families. So that's all I have to say, but I think it's a crime that we allowed the commission to disintegrate and not meet its major challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Does any member have any questions of Arlis Sturgiluski? Thank you, and I thank you so much for all your community support, and I especially have recognized over years your endless hard work on the YWCA. Thank you, Arlis.
All right. Thank you very much, and good luck on your testimony.
Thank you. Next, we have eight different people that have signed up to give testimony, and how I'd like to work this, I'll start calling the name, and if you recognize that they, in the interest of time, that they have said exactly what you had planned to say, you can just defer to what the past speaker or something like that, so we can move it along if that's okay with everybody. So let's start with Karen Robinson, please, Alaska Woman Lobbyist. Come forward, state your name, and give your testimony.
Yeah, Madam Chairman and members of the committee, good morning. For the record, my name is Karen Robinson, and I'm representing the Alaska Women's Lobby. The Alaska Women's Lobby is a statewide group steering committee in Fairbanks, Anchorage, and Juneau, whose mission is to defend and advance the rights and needs of women, children, and families in Alaska. Thank you for hearing Senate Bill 69. The lobby fully supports the reestablishment of the Women's Commission. As Alaska celebrates 50 years of statehood, reestablishing a commission on the status of women is a wise investment which can move us forward in the next 50 years. During the 20th century, women made significant economic, political, and social advances, but we are far from enjoying gender equity. Throughout the United States, women earn less than men, are seriously underrepresented in the political office, and make up a disproportionate share of people in poverty. Even in the areas where there has been significant advancements in women's status, rates of progress are very slow. For example, at the rate of progress achieved over the past 10 years, women will not reach wage parity for more than 50 years. If women represented in Congress changes at the rate it did in the 90s, it will take more than a century to achieve equity in political representation. To make significant progress toward gender equity, policy researchers and advocates need reliable data about women and issues affecting their lives. Recognizing this, the first Alaska Women's Commission initiated a series of reports researching the status of women in the state of Alaska. It was one of the most valuable things they did in advancing solutions to the issues facing women. And for many of you, if you ever get a chance to read, and I'll show you some of these as we move forward, it was really through the works of the Women's Commission that we advanced the domestic violence, welfare reform, and many issues that we are now living under. Status of women reports are needed today to inform citizens about the progress of women in Alaska relating to women in other states, to men, and to the nation as a whole. Some of the goals of the Women's Commission could be to analyze and disseminate information about women's progress in achieving rights and opportunities, provide baseline measures to monitor women's progress in achieving equality, and most important, to identify measures and purpose solutions to remaining equality barriers. Don't get me wrong, I know we've come a long way. Women in Alaska and the United States as a whole are seeing important changes in their lives and in their access to political, economic, and social rights, but we still have more to do. Alaska women could benefit from a stronger enforcement of equal opportunity laws, better political representation, adequate and affordable child care, stronger poverty reduction programs, and other policies to improve the status of women. A Women's Commission would provide the focus and the direction in achieving these goals. And we thank you for your time. And I'm probably about one of the very few people left in the state that even has copies of all these things. I'm kind of a history person, but you know, if anyone's interested, kind of some very interesting stuff. The very first ever, 1977, Joan Katz, who was an attorney, wrote the very first status. Then 5 years later, we did a preliminary study of where and how we had advanced. A very incredible book on names and women from across the state. Many of them who have long passed us but did quite amazing contributions to our state. But I think some of the more important work was done by the last commissioner of the state and director, Ruth Lister. Ruth Lister was the last Women's Commission director that we had. She really knew and understood the fact that women were having some very difficult times in all areas. And first one was looking at young women and dropping out of school, and incredible recommendations I can guarantee we have never followed. Also looked at the fact that the only way we were going to really get a handle on teen pregnancy is we were going to have to do what about the boys, and how and what we were going to do to help educate young men in the progress that we needed in stopping teen pregnancy. But probably one of the most used piece of literature that was done was the Women's Legal Rights Handbook. And it was handed out to all the shelters, Alaska Legal Services, many of the doctor's offices, and I can guarantee you it needs to be updated. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your informative testimony. Do any members have any questions? Okay. Next, we'll take Haiti Gardner. Come forward, please, and state your name and affiliation and give your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Haddock Gardner, and I am the current president of the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women. Business and Professional Women is an organization that's a form of a national organization which was founded in 1919. The State Federation was founded and chartered in 1945. And currently, we have three local organizations within the state of Alaska. So it will be a three-tier membership that will be using the statistics that will be the findings of the Alaska Women's Commission. The National Federation of Business and Professional Women concentrate on fair pay, the Fair Pay Act. We have joined with AARP on Divided We Fail, the health issues, the American Heart Association with the heart care reporting, the veterans women back into the workplace. And on the local level, the concentration will be on scholarships for young women and sometime men. Global warming is the issue that we've undertaken currently for the year. Individual development for our members and for other women and members within the community, and also training issue for young women and women who are head of households and et cetera. BPW Alaska would be remiss if I did not speak here today to indicate to you the importance to us of supporting and reinstituting this commission. The statistics would be used to plan programs to supply information and statistics to our national level. We would like to say have some form here within the state that we can draw statistics from for single family homes, for children in need, domestic violence, and also to include this in a report to our national organization so that when they go forth that they can speak to Alaska needs as well. I thank you for your time this morning to speak with you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone that has any questions? Okay. Next, we have Anna Ben Stevens, and I appreciate it when you keep it to 3 minutes, because on our website, that's what our testimony states. So if you can keep your comments to 3 minutes. State your name and affiliation, please.
My name's Annabelle Stevens, and I too belong to Business and Professional Women. Madam Chair, committee members, some of who I really know well, I've been coming to Juneau for over 35 years for diverse reasons, and I have probably yelled at a lot of you about things. But this is one of the most important things out there. To reestablish this Women's Commission is vital to the civil rights, the labor, the employment, equal pay of women. And I hesitate to say homemaking, because 100 years ago, women were homemakers. Nowadays, they are breadwinners the same as men. And I think that we need this to get out how important it is that women are in this society today, how much they do, and as the saying goes, behind every successful man is a woman that's given him a hand up. Thank you.
Thank you, Fried. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Ramona Duby. State your name and affiliation, please, and give testimony.
Thank you. My name is Ramona Duby, and I am also with Business and Professional Women Anchorage. And I, too, know some of the committee members, and I've been down here on wearing a number of hats as well for many, many years. And I support the reestablishment of the Women's Commission. I echo Arliss's, every single one of her comments. I testified at many of the Women's Commission's events back in the 80s. I got my feet wet, actually, at the Women's Commission when it comes to public policy, and actually with the assistance of Arliss and Katie Hurley and Helen Byrne, now deceased, they all assisted me with a legal issue against a state nonprofit. So the one thing that I would really like to see when we reestablish the Women's Commission is put some more meat to this. And I'd like to see some reporting to either a legislative body or directly to the governor. It's one thing to get this information, which we vitally need, but I would really, really like to see a direct connection to all the information be put to use. And I thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you. Any member have any questions? Okay. Let's go off net now to Jane Ann Vick. And Jane?
Hello.
Did you want to state your name and give some testimony?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Jane Ann Vick, and I serve on the Board of Directors of Girl Scouts for the State of Alaska, as well as the Board of the Alaska Women's Political Caucus, and have been involved in women's issues for many years. I speak in support of Senate Bill 69 before you and believe that it would provide tremendous opportunity for research that would assist women, particularly in economic development situations. Currently, as is the rest of the country, Alaska women are underpaid in relation to their male colleagues doing similar jobs. And I think it's really important that we focus on the importance of women's capacity to be able to support themselves and their families, and that the Women's Commission, the reestablishment of the Women's Commission, would provide that kind of information and research to be able to make recommendations about how we could do that. I, too, worked with the Women's Commission when it existed before and believe that the body of research that was developed really did inform the Alaska legislature, as well as citizens across the state, in ways that we can make sure that all of the participants, all the participation of the citizens of Alaska are as fully developed as possible. I strongly support the bill and would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Does any member, committee member, have any questions of Jane Andick? Thank you very much for your testimony.
My pleasure.
Brittany, good night. Brittany, do you want to come forward and state your name and affiliation and give testimony, please?
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee. My name is Brittany Goodnight, and I am here with the Women's Summit today and tomorrow. I'm also serving on the board of the Alaska Women's Political Caucus. I'm a young Alaskan, a young woman, and a young professional, born and raised in Chugiak, and I would like to echo all the comments by these fabulous women here today. Particularly as a young woman and a young professional, I'm kind of shocked that this commission doesn't exist, and given the capacity that it could serve to guide the legislature and the governor and the important advancement for women in all kinds of realms that are so important to our state, my future, and the future of my children and my family, I urge you to support this bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your testimony. No members have any questions. Okay. LaTanya Simons. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. LaTanya Simonis. I'm here from Fairbanks for the Women's Summit for the next couple of days. I would like to just echo what everyone is saying as well. I'm a young Alaska Native woman, born and raised here in Alaska, and I understand the huge opportunities reestablishing this commission would offer for my brother, my sisters, my aunts, my grandmothers, my and all the members of my extended family in rural Alaska as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Catherine Forrest, is it?
Good Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Catherine Forrest. I, too, am a young Alaskan here. I was born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska, from a big Hispanic family, and I believe in all the great testimonies that all of these women have given to us to reinstate this committee. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Sure. I'm not seeing this writing real clear, but Simmons is the last name, is it? Claire, or I don't know. Clever?
Hi. Thank you. My name is Clover Simon, for the record. Okay. And I am the Vice President of Alaska for Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest. And as our organization primarily serves the good of women and children, and we also employ mostly women. Many of the women that work for me are mothers, and oftentimes they are single mothers who started their families very young. And so having the information out there to legislators about the importance of bringing women up, I think, is paramount to the future of our state. We know that when we improve the lives of women, we also improve the lives of everyone in the community, especially children. So thank you for considering this bill, and I hope that you can move it forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody have any questions? Okay, with that, I'll close public testimony and then give the committee a chance to have a discussion with Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, may we have the sponsor come back to the table, please?
Yes, Representative Davis.
Question for Senator Davis.
Okay, yes.
Senator Davis, actually somebody brought up a good point in the testimony, and that was that we want to make sure that this commission, whatever they find, is implemented by the governor or the legislature. And I was just looking on the last page, page 4. It looks like the commission will prepare a report and will provide the governor with copies of the report. Can we also give that to the legislature?
Of course. And I do believe that the last commission reported directly to the governor. However, we could have it in the way that we want. It could be directly to the legislature or some other branch, but I said the closer we are to the legislature and the governor, I think the better off we would be.
Yeah.
So the bill is in its beginning stages, and we are willing to change and consider any recommendation that would make this a stronger piece of legislation.
Madam Chair, Senator Davis, I think that's fine going directly to the governor, just as long as the legislature is kept on board.
We definitely wouldn't want them to be left out.
Okay. And I don't know if you want to go ahead and say that in the bill, or if that's just a given, or
it can be addressed in the bill, and you have it before you, and so you could make those changes. Recommendation: we'd be glad to have a CS to replace the original bill.
Madam Chair, I think we can do that with a simple amendment. We don't need to hold this over for CS.
Okay.
Yep, for my purposes.
Okay. Does any other member have? Representative Davis, I wanted to ask, the fiscal note is $505,000.
That's what came back to us, and as you could look at the pages in there, it established the same positions that were on the old commission. Executive directors, pay staff, and all the you have that in your package.
So that was my interest in 1993 when it was the Human Relations Commission.
It wasn't under Human Relations. They never funded that, but the Women Commission was funded, and that was the funding level for them.
And that was several years ago.
Yeah, 1993 when it went away.
Okay. And where do we stand as far as the rest of the states? Do all states have this commission set up?
I would like to say that almost every state have it. I would be able to get that information from you. I know they do have them in various forms. Okay. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Do any members have any other?
Madam Chair.
What is the will of the committee?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just
Senator
as
French.
I think Senator Meyer made a good suggestion, and it sounds like the sponsor of the bill is in agreement with that suggestion, I would propose an amendment to page 4, line 5 of the bill. This would be amendment number 1.
Conceptual amendment.
Sure, we, you know, the drafters can make it conform, but I think the way I would frame the amendment would be to say, after the word governor, insert the words "and the legislature." And so the whole sentence would read, "The commission shall provide the governor and the legislature with copies of the report by the 15th day of each regular legislative session and notify the legislature that the report is available." Actually, you could just strike, the other part of the amendment would be to strike all the words on line 6, because there wouldn't be any need to notify the legislature that the report was available if it had been provided to us.
Okay, is there any objection to that amendment?
No, I agree with that.
Okay. So then do I hear, what is the will of the committee then to move the bill out?
Madam Chair, Amendment 1 is adopted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Madam Chair, I would be happy to move that Senate Bill 69 be referred out of this committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay, is there any discussion?
As amended.
As amended.
As amended, is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move that out then. Okay, we'll take a short at ease. Order, because we have about 25 more minutes here to go. Now we'll take up Senate Bill 78, the Legislative Audit Division Powers. Senator Dyson, as the sponsor of this bill, would you come forward? And we do have a committee substitute since our first meeting. If it is the will of the committee to adopt this committee substitute as the working document, is that all right with the
committee? Madam Chair, I'll move that we adopt CS for Senate Bill number 78. Looks like my / is S, Sierra.
Okay, and thank you for that adoption. Is there any objections? Okay, seeing none. Hearing none, then the committee substitute is adopted. Senator Dyson, please place yourself on the record and your affiliation. Thank you.
Good morning, and thank you. Senator Dyson from District I, prime sponsor in the bill.
Okay. Are there any questions, or did you want to make any comments at this time?
Yeah, thank you. I think Senator French has done some good work here, and there's a couple of minor things that would improve the committee substitute. I think that the sponsor of the committee substitute would be fine with them. We can either do that now or not, or if you want to defer action until the first of next week, we could put them all together in a different one, or you can get it out of here and we can try in the next committee. It's your choice, Madam Chair.
Yes, that's my intent, to try to get it out and let those corrections be made at the next committee if there's no objection.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Myers.
No questions for the sponsor. I do have a question for our auditor, though. I'd like to get her opinion
okay,
of these changes.
Pat, could you come forward, please, Davidson? And she's the legislative audit.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Pat Davidson, legislative auditor, representing the Division of Legislative Audit.
Okay, Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, Ms. Davidson, are you okay with these changes to the CS? Since you'll be the one directly impacted by this.
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, the one item that I would bring before the committee for their consideration is in the new Section 11, the last clause limits the audit to the financial records of the organization, and what that will do is it will constrain legislators in requesting audits to only financial audits. They won't be able to ask for performance-oriented type of audits. As an example, the state runs a training employment program through the Department of Labor and passes money out to various organizations. If the legislature wanted to know how successful those programs are, we're not going to be able to measure the success of that program by looking at financial records. And so to get the broadest type of information to the legislature, you may want to consider taking that portion out, because that would give us access to those records that would, that were generated through the use of state money or federal money flowing through the state, but it would allow us access to all those records to be able to perform a wider breadth of types of audits.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
follow up.
I agree with that. So I would ask the maker of the CS to comment on that. But also, Pat, while we have you here, are you okay with may instead of shall on number 11 as well?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure. It's the second time that word may has shown up, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Ledge Legal about why that word is there. I don't know if it's giving authority to me as legislative auditor to say no to a committee audit request. I'm just not sure about the word may in that situation, and because I'm not sure about it, I wouldn't make any recommendations to the committee to keep it or change it. I'm just not sure exactly what it does.
Okay, Senator French.
Madam Chair, why don't we do this, since we're not certain what the legal effect of changing may to shall would be. Why don't we fix the obvious problem, which is to drop the clause, the second clause in sub 11, leave the may the way it is, and let future minds work on that. Okay. Issue.
Are you offering that as an amendment?
My amendment, yes, I'm offering an amendment. The amendment is amendment number one to the CS would be to on page 2, line 27, after the word committee, put a period and strike the rest.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and have that amendment. Then are there any other questions of Pat before she leaves? Is there anyone online that wants to speak to that? Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Then I'll go ahead and close public testimony. And we'll move on to discussion. Do committee members have any comments or questions at this time? If the committee is ready to move this bill out of state affairs to the next committee of referral, with the amendment, may I hear a motion to do so?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Myers.
I move that we move the CS for Senate Bill 78/S as amended out of committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal amendment.
Okay, are there any objections? Seeing none? Okay, thank you. Brief at ease.
Madam Chair, somebody left.
Order. Last but not least, we have House Bill 63, Council on Domestic Violence, and this is a continuation of House Bill 63. Representative Faircloth, would you please come forward and speak to the changes made in your bill, please, and identify yourself.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Representative Anna Faircloth from District 17 out of Eagle River, Alaska. Thank you for hearing the bill and re-looking at an amendment that we had proposed. If you recall, at our last meeting on, I believe, Tuesday, several issues were raised to me late in the game regarding personnel and taking that personnel from an exempt status to a non-exempt status that would provide some union representation and some procedural protectiveness as the council staff moves forward to provide historical knowledge to programs and to the people of Alaska. The issues that were raised were we didn't know as of Tuesday morning whether the change of health insurance would require duplicate deductibles if they changed policies. We didn't know if they would lose money. We were actually told that they would have a pay reduction if they move from that status, and a variety of other issues. We believe all of those issues have been satisfied. We believe, and I have Mr. Putman here from the union, and I've been assured by Nikki Neal from the administration that all of the issues that have been raised have been taken care of through an amendment that we provided and spoke with you about yesterday. But specifically, people would, if you adopt the amendment that we've proposed from administration, members, the six staff that would be affected, their pay would stay the same, be frozen as they crossed over into the classified position. It would happen immediately on the effective date. We've chosen the effective date to be simultaneous with when health care coverage would change, so that there's not a issue of past deductibles. And as Mr. Putman, I've asked to tell us that there's not going to be a pre-exemption problem for the staff. And so, again, I believe that this amendment that we've prepared has went through the administration will meet all the issues and make the bill a better bill.
Okay, thank you. And is it the will of the committee to adopt the committee substitute as the working document?
Don't we have that before us? It's just
amendment.
Madam Chair, amendment. Right. Okay. May I move amendment number one?
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Okay. Hearing none, then this will be our working version. Is there anyone else who wants to provide public testimony? Okay. Come forward and state your name, please, Mr. Putman, and your affiliation.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the State Affairs Committee, Senate State Affairs. My name is Fate Putman. I am the representative for Alaska State Employees Association, which is the union that will represent these employees once they return to classified service. Let me start out with the health insurance issue. Even though it looks like the union is the health insurance, they're two separate entities. The health trust is a standalone entity that has a similar name to ours, so I don't represent the health trust, but this is what I was told by the health trust when I asked, that as the employees move from the select benefits, which is what they're in now, most employees in the state government are, and move to the health trust that's run by the union, they will receive a COBRA notice from the select benefits, and they will receive a certificate of credible coverage. I don't know what all these things mean, but those are required under HIPAA. And then that certificate would eliminate the need for a waiting period for a pre-existing condition. So they immediately will get health coverage on July 1, and they'll immediately be covered. The other issue is the loss of any deductibles that they paid or co-pays. If they transfer on July 1, that's the end of the plan year, so they'll start in the new plan year, so that none of their deductibles will be lost. None of their co-pays will be lost. So I believe the July 1 effective date works well for that. And then the last portion, as ASEA's representative, we have no objection to moving the employees from exempt status to classified status, and to the recruitment process being, in this one case, not being used in this process. Okay, so that's our official position.
Are there
happy to answer any questions?
Senator French.
I just can't resist being a know-it-all, because I know what a certificate of credible coverage is.
Thank you.
It's extremely important, because they're moving from one insurance policy to another. And as a new policyholder, the new insurance company could say, oh my goodness, you've got, asthma or whatever it is, and that's a pre-existing condition, and we're not going to cover you for a pre-existing condition. So the certificate of credible coverage says you've been covered by another insurance policy for that problem for a long enough period to grant you coverage under our new policy. So it's a great solution. So I thank the sponsor and thank you, Mr. Putman, for working that out.
Yes. Thank you very much.
The sponsor has worked very hard to bring this to petition. Is there anyone else that would like to have any kind of public testimony? Okay. Are you Chris? Okay, I'm sorry. Come forward, please, and state your name. Sorry, I missed that.
I'm Chris Ashenbrenner. I'm the executive director of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. You have a letter of support from the council in your packet. And we strongly support this bill. All aspects of it will really strengthen the council, the addition of corrections, the addition of a rural public member, the extension of the terms they serve, will make it stronger and enhance their ability to fight these crimes. And this amendment is, I'm very grateful to the sponsor for working so hard and for you to considering it, so because we have a group of very dedicated and hardworking staff down there, and this provides them some protection, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I'm here for any questions anybody might have.
Does any committee member have any questions? Okay, seeing none, then I will close public testimony. Do committee members have any questions or comments?
Ready for a motion?
I apologize. I just got a note and it kind of left my train of thought. I'm going to take a short at ease just
Very good.
A second. Okay, just a moment.